This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome Ani DeFranco.
The garbage swirls like a cyclone. 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm going home. F train is full of high school students. So much shouting, so much laughter. Last night's underwear in my back pocket. Sure sign of the morning after. Take me home. Take me home and leave me there. Think I wanna cry, I don't know why. Think I'm gonna sing myself a lullaby. Feel free to listen, yeah. Feel free to stay. I live in New York, New York, city that never shuts up. In the daylight, everything is so gory. You can hear snatches of strangers' sorry stories. And I moved there from Buffalo, but that's nothing. Trico plant moved to Mexico. Left my uncle standing out in the cold. Said, here's your last paycheck. Have fun growing old. Take me home. A meeting of the minds, and now it's 3 in the afternoon, and I can't leave too soon. Saying thank you, I had a nice time. Take me home, take me home and leave me there. I think I wanna cry, I don't know why. I think I wanna sing myself a lullaby. Feel free to listen, yeah. Feel free to stare. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop when the wind blows. Cradle will fall on, and down will come, baby, cradling all on. Stay tight.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Ani DeFranco. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you in the studio with us talking shop, and a real treat to get to meet you. I think we almost had an interview going a few years ago, and the scheduling thing didn't work out, but glad we were able to catch you here this time.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask right at the top, before I get into some of the basic intro stuff, I'm trying to remember, it's probably been a little while since you've been to Montana.
Yeah, I was trying to remember when the last time was, actually. but I don't. Okay. So I guess it has been a little while.
You have been here before,
yeah,
certainly, and,
yep,
and have
sure
some
have.
Memorable concerts here in Montana. Your music obviously is going to be very well known to our listeners, but just in case anybody is not aware, Ani's a multiple award-winning guitarist, singer-songwriter, and including multiple Grammy nominations and a number of other great awards there in the bio. What would I call you? You are the Righteous Babe. The Righteous Babe Records. I mean,
I'm one of them.
The owner of the... Yeah.
Yeah.
That label, which is an iconic label, if I may use that word, also includes a couple of folks that have been on the program before. Pieta Brown has been on the program, who's traveling with you as we speak. Peter Mulvey and some other folks that I'm sure listeners will know, like Andrew Bird and Toshi Regan, who are going to be on the list of artists we'd like to get at some point. Some terrific folks. And I should mention, we'll be featuring some solo acoustic performances by Ani recorded here at the Montana Public Radio Studios for this program, Beth Ann Austin doing the engineering. In addition to the over 19, I think kind of 19 studio albums and dozens of compilations and EPs, in addition to all those, we're going to talk a little bit about the memoir, which is still kind of hot off the presses.
Yes.
No Walls and a Reoccurring Dream. And as I recall, the two most recent recordings, Ani DiFranco, the reissue, right?
Right, the first record reissued.
Reissued,
yeah.
And then
vinyl.
The No Walls mixtape.
Yeah, so I wrote a memoir mostly about my formative years, you know, the making of The Righteous Babe. And then I just went back and revisited a lot of songs from that era and did, you know, solo versions, you know, the me that I am now singing those crusty old songs. And, a group of songs that kind of came up in the book or were related to the book in some way.
Kind of a revisitation. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk to you a little more about that down the road here as we get into the interview. But I also wanted to make sure I had this right. Is there also this recording coming out with the work you did with folks in the prisons? Is that coming out this year?
Yes, there is. Yeah, thanks for asking about it. For years now, I've been involved with what has come to be known the Prison Music Project, which is a collection of singers and musicians and producers, and we made a record of songs written by men in prison. It started with my friend Zoe, who did songwriting workshops in New Folsom Prison out in California for about 4 years, and she collected this body of material by the dudes that was just incredible. Slowly, we put together a record. And just basically to speak to the humanity of all these people we have in prison in America. There's 2 million people in prison in America. We're the most imprisoned nation on earth. So it's sort of a human rights crisis that's kind of going under the radar for most people. So, yeah, this record should be coming out this spring. And interestingly, there's a few of the tracks where the writers themselves sing or rap their own words. We recorded over the phone some of the dudes. One of them was out on parole, and we got him into a recording studio. But mostly the songs are sung by women, which I find an interesting juxtaposition.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool record.
I'm curious to know if you have had any kind of feedback from the men whose stories are being told to having those stories being recorded and sung by a female voice. I think that's a fantastic concept.
Well, none of them have heard it yet.
Okay.
Because you can't send a CD to a prison.
Hmm.
If they have access to music at all, it's in the sanctioned prison library, and they can only access. So anyway, and you can't email. But one of the men, one of the writers on this record, has become a friend of mine. We speak on the phone regularly, and we correspond through the mail. And, you know, so I know that him in particular, his name is Spoon Jackson, and he's very excited for this record. He's actually been aware of my work since long before we met through this project.
Oh,
yeah.
Darn.
Yeah.
I used to work as a music therapist, so I did a lot of that kind of stuff, and it's so powerful
to
for those folks who don't have a voice to hear and to have it come out in a creative context. It's
absolutely
incredibly powerful.
I can speak to that for sure, like just expressing it, your whatever, mm-hmm. everything, your pain, your regret, your longing, your just letting it out, articulating it is a very healing process.
Now it's more like showbiz. I wake up in the night and I don't know where the bathroom is. And I don't know what town I'm in or what sky I'm under. And I wake up in the darkness and I don't have the will anymore to wonder. And everyone has a skeleton and a closet to keep it in. You're mine. Every song has a you. The you that the singer sings to. And you're it this time. Baby, you're it this time. When I need to wipe my face, I use the back of my hand. And I like to take up space just because I care. And I use my to wipe up my drink. You know I care less and less what people think. And you are so late, you know. You always disappoint me. It's kind of like a running joke, but it's really not funny. And I just want you to live up to the image of you I created. See when I'm so unsatisfied, I see when I dilate. With a smile, if I'm gonna go down, I'm gonna do it with style. And you won't see me surrender, you won't hear me confess, 'cause you left me with nothing, but I've worked with less. And I learn every road long enough to make it to the door, and I hear it click shut behind me. And every key works differently. Forget every time, the forgetting defies. Yeah, that's what defies. And when I say you sucked my brain out, the English translation is I am in love with you, and it ain't no fun. And I don't use words like love anyway. Like that don't matter. Just don't look so offended. You know you should be flattered. And I wake up in the night in some big hotel bed, and my hands grope for the light, and my hands grope for my head. And the world is my oyster, you know. The road is my home. And I know that I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. Thank you.
You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and we're speaking today with Ani DeFranco. Ani, I'm going to shift gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you about Buffalo, because the host of the show here was originally from Cleveland, so I always feel like an affinity for folks from Buffalo, and I know you got started in music very early, but before we even get to that, if you could just take folks to Buffalo circa whenever it would have been, 1970s or something. And just kind of give folks a feel for a town we hear about, but I'm just curious your take on that.
Yeah, well, my shorthand for people who have never been to Buffalo or don't, it's not on their radar, is it's sort of like a mini Detroit. You know, it's a Rust Belt factory town, blue-collar town, lots of immigrant populations, from which I also consider like African-Americans from the South, you know, migrated up to these towns when they're at, you know, the Industrial Revolution, everybody came to work in the factories. Then, of course, you know, comes, you know, a lot of changing of a lot of laws. And in the 70s and 80s, you know, my sort of time, formative years skulking around Buffalo, it was the closing of all these factories and the moving of all this industrial work outside of America. And so, yeah, my childhood, you know, memories are of doom, you know, financial doom and a lot of evacuation from my hometown. You know, first, you know, and then, of course, you know, this financial constriction makes, you know, the inner city poorer and poorer, and the school system declines, and, you know, the people with means all move out to the suburbs, which exacerbates the situation. So, you know, I was sort of aware of how, you know, the sort of forces of racism and sort of economic terrorism, you know, that, I mean, the Buffalo that I grew up in looked like bombs had been dropped on it, you know, but it was economic bombs, you know. So that was, I think, put a deep awareness in me of these sort of dynamics of society and how they affect the landscape and people's lives.
That certainly speaks to a lot of what comes with your lyrics, I think. I would imagine that's certainly very formative. It's got to be a formative time. And then, you know, music comes into your world. And I know you had a very central figure that, you know, helped you get started in music and got you into performing pretty darn early, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, single digits. I was hanging out with...
Single digits.
Yeah, I was like, you know, 9 years old, hanging out in bars with my friend Michael Meldrum. He was a local troubadour songwriter, folk promoter, you know, in Buffalo. And I met him at the guitar shop where I got my first guitar, and he just took me under his wing. So I was his sidekick, you know. And I was, you know, I mean, of course, things were looser in the 70s, you know, so a kid could sort of fly under the radar, in even in bars and such. But yeah, that's where I learned my craft.
And when did the guitar, so you say like in the single digits, you're already, the guitar has come into your life. Having seen you perform firsthand this close, I'm again struck by your dexterity and your skill and your grace and power as a player. My question is, at what point did that start to feel, did you really notice that, hey, I've got something here? This is not just going to be a hobby. This is, I'm thinking about your right hand. You know, I couldn't help noticing just like how powerful that is and how graceful it is. At what point did that kind of come to you as like, okay, this is something more than just something I'm going to be doing on the side. This is something powerful. This is going to be my avenue to get me out into the world. Does that make sense?
I don't know if I thought of it quite that way, but I think I would basically answer your question like right from the beginning. I just knew that it was the most compelling thing. When I was a kid, I used to express myself in many ways, you know, drawing and dancing. I actually thought I was going to be a dancer for a lot of years. That was where I thought I would end up. But music, just in every moment, there's something so vital about the connection that music makes between people and the street level you know, sort of interface of music, whereas dance was a more exclusive community. You know, dancers danced for other dancers over there, you know, whereas music, everybody lives through music, and it happens on the street, and it happens in bars, and it happens in your bedroom, and it just, you know, everybody needs it like water and air. So, yeah, and right from the beginning when I started playing, I mean, it took me a while to develop, you know, what you recognize now as my right hand technique. But right from the beginning, I was on my own tip, you know, with my playing.
Okay. Another thing I was going to ask you a little bit. I don't want to get too far into the guitar geekery, which would be easy to do.
Geekery.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing that comes to me is just that pocket.
Yeah.
That sense of pocket. I mean, that's obviously something that really distinguishes.
Yeah. That also took a while to really sink in. I don't think I started playing with the pocket that I have now, but I had my own kind of grabby, slammy, you know, over here, you know, over here, check it out, chick with a guitar. And I think more than, you know, so I had my own sort of approach to the acoustic guitar right off the bat, and then I sort of developed it as I went. But also when I was little, I was even littler than I am now, and I'm pretty mini. I had a big mouth. Right off the bat, I had a big voice. So what I heard for the first, you know, 10 years of playing, you know, as a child and then a teen in public was, whoa, that's a big voice for a little girl, you know. So I used to, you know, just work everything I had, you know, to try to get over, just to try to connect with people.
And you did a lot of busking on the street when you're talking about being
on the street. I did.
And maybe just in case listeners are not familiar with that term, it's obviously playing on the streets.
For change. You know, for anything anybody will give you. Yeah, that's a real, you know, good boot camp, musician boot camp, you know, how to get somebody to stop and spend a couple of minutes with you and your song.
Music now recorded here in the Montana Public Radio studios by our guest, Ani DeFranco.
Okay. All right, this is a song called Shameless. How can I name this? I cannot explain this, and I really don't want to. Just call me shameless. I can't even slow this down, let alone stop this. And I keep looking around, but I cannot talk. If I had any sense, I guess I'd fear this. I guess I'd keep it down so no one would hear this. I guess I'd shut my mouth and rethink a minute. But I can't shut it now, cause there's something in it. We're in a room without a door, and I am sure without a doubt they're gonna wanna know how we got in here. Better have a good explanation for all the fun that we had. Cause they are come for us, babe. And they are good to be mad. Yeah, they're good to be mad at us, mad. This is my skeleton. This is the skin it's in, that is according to light and gravity. Oh, I'll take out my disguise, the mask you met me in, cause I got something for you to see. Just give me your skeleton, give me the skin it's in. Yeah, baby, this is you according to me. And I never avert my eyes, I never compromise. So never, never mind the poetry. Spain.
covet another man's wife. I got to divide my emotions into wrong and right. And then I get to see how close I can get to it without giving in. And then I get to rub up against it till I break the. I get to rub up against it till I break the. Ooh, they're gonna be mad. They're gonna be mad at me and you. They're gonna be mad. And all the things we like to do, they're gonna be mad. They're gonna be mad at me and you. They're gonna be mad. Oh yes. Just please don't name this. Please don't explain this. Just blame it all on me. Say I was shameless. I couldn't slow it down, let alone stop it. And say you just hung around, 'cause you couldn't top it. And whew. All right.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Ani DeFranco. Can we talk about the memoir? Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing this is at least the second or third time I've spoken with a guest who recently has a memoir. Mm. A number of years ago now, I spoke with Sean Colvin, who had just released a memoir as well. Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about that process, if you could. I mean, I know it's an entirely different world to dive into, mm-hmm. but, you know, I know how the memoir is resonating with folks as much as your music does. Mm,
I hope so. It was a lot of work. It was a couple years of staring at a computer screen, which I never imagined I would do for any reason. And it was a challenge for sure. I sort of took it on because I wanted a writing challenge, you know, after hundreds of songs, you know. Complete sentences seemed new and different. So it was a very cool process. Just to put myself, whatever, out of my comfort zone, you know, and not know on any given day whether I could frickin' do this, you know. Yeah. And having to continually break through those walls of doubt and trepidation and keep going and keep pushing and keep discovering how to do it as I went, you know. So, yeah, it was cool. Also, just walking that deeply into the house of memory was the first hurdle, you know. Like anybody, I sat down initially thinking, I can't do this. I don't remember anything. You know, who remembers? But it's, you know, more, I think, is in there than you think. Mm. But it's definitely a thing in and of itself to get back there, mm-hmm. in order to articulate it, in order to express it in any real and detailed way. So, yeah, challenging.
Wait for it to rain so that I can see you. You call me up at night when there's no light passing through, and you think that I don't understand, but I do.
When we come back, we'll have more music and conversation with our guest Ani DeFranco here on Musicians Spotlight. Welcome back to Musician Spotlight and our visit with Ani DeFranco.
You are subtle as a window pane, standing in my view, but I will wait for it to rain so that I can see you. You call me up at night when there's no light passing through, and you think that I don't understand, but I do. To my chest, I say what I have to, and I hold back the rest. 'Cause someone you don't know is someone you don't know. Get a firm grip before you. let go. Forever hand extended, another lies in wait. Yes, keep your eye on that one, anticipate. With the police we blew, get it all on film for the new release. It seems like everyone's an actor, an actor's best friend. I wonder what was wrong to begin with, that they should all have to pretend that we lose sight of everything. We have to keep checking our backside. Think we should all just smile, come clean and relax. But someone you don't know is someone you don't know. Get a firm grip before you let go. Forever hand extended, another lies in wait. Yes, keep your eye on that one, anticipate.
You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Ani DeFranco. Ani, I wanted to ask you about this concept of revisiting, going back to tunes that you wrote when you're much younger. Just kind of what your relationship is with some of those songs that you wrote as a much younger woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to a conversation I had with Richard Thompson, who obviously is, retelling stories of his youth that go back 50 years probably. Mm-hmm.
I've got 30-year-old songs.
Yeah, right.
That I believe it or not.
And the idea being that as singer-songwriters, the thought is you are constantly having to reinvent your art,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not other than recordings, you have that, but you don't have painters have to go out and redo, a painting they did as a 25-year-old. But as singer-songwriters, there's at least the hope from your audience you're going to, still hold on to those things.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about that, sort of that relationship with those older songs?
Well,
and how you
revisit
them?
Yeah, I mean, I painted and I love drawing and painting. I've done that since I was very young. And I am a person who will go to my friend's house who I gave a painting to, sneak it down off their wall and change it. 10 years later.
Serious?
Yeah. My friends know not to trust me alone with their paintings.
That is hysterical.
Am all about, I love that about music, is that songs continue to live and evolve. That feels good to me. Revisiting those old songs, it's definitely like embodying a very, an older version of myself, one that, a much different version of, me in a much different circumstance. And I noticed, actually, with that group of songs that's on the mixtape, a similar thing that to what I noticed standing back from the memoir itself, which was, it's a lot about survival, I hadn't sort of framed my journey that way. I think I have gotten myself to a place of, safety and, sort of being self-directed and empowered to a healthful degree. But it wasn't always so. A young woman in the world, especially alone, traveling, moving through the world of men, it's a dangerous place, So that sort of struck me in retrospect. I had forgotten how edgy life was.
I am not a pretty girl. That's not what I do. No damsel in distress, and I don't need to be rescued, so put me down, punk. Wouldn't you prefer a maiden fair? Isn't there a kitten stuck up a tree somewhere? Seems like I've got lovingly fine hard to hear. They chalk it up to my anger, never to their own fear. And imagine you're a girl just trying to find a cup claim, knowing full well they prefer you dirt. Working for the man, and generally I agree with them. Trouble is, you gotta have yourself an alternate plan. And I earned my disillusion, and I've been working all my life. And I am a patriot. Yeah, I have been fighting the good fight. And what if there are no damsels in distress? What if I knew that and I caught your blood? Don't you think every kitten figures out how to get down? Whether or not you ever show up.
Ani DeFranco joins us on Musician Spotlight today. Can we open up the Facebook page here?
Okay,
some of these are, yeah. some of these would be pretty fun. And
oh, they're questions.
Yeah, they're questions. Yes, yes, yeah, that's what I meant. Cool. The questions that folks I offer. Right. Open up the Facebook page to suggestions.
From our
listeners. Travis wants to know about the tenor guitar.
Yeah, yeah, I love my tenor guitar. It's a four-stringed instrument. For those who don't know. And I don't even know what the tuning is supposed to be on that sucker. I think it's maybe traditionally tuned like a fiddle, but I am pretending to know.
That sounds right.
I tend to keep it in a weird A-D-A-D.
Oh, okay.
A-D-A-D. Sometimes I go A-sharp D-A-D, or sometimes I tweak it a little from there, but that's my resting spot for my tenor. All of my tenor songs are somewhere around that tuning. And I love the sort of MIDI sound, not MIDI as in digital, mid-range. It doesn't have a lot of low end or a lot of high end. It's sort of banjo like in its honk, which works real well with a rhythm section, right there in between the voice and the rhythm section. So yeah, I love my tenor.
Okay. Shelley asks, who or what are you inspired by? So I'm just going to leave that out there.
Wow. That's a big
one. That's a big one.
Yeah. Who or what?
Yeah.
Depends on the day, you know? All those people out there doing beautiful things, uplifting each other. I mean, that comes in every kind of flavor, creative and artistic, and also, you know, the activist, I just did a book event in Anchorage, Alaska a few days ago, and I'm at a bookstore and I did a signing, so everybody who showed up came up to the table one at a time. And I was really struck once again by, the two-sentence introduction that person after person, I work at the Rape Crisis Center and I just want to blah, 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 blah. Oh, I do environmental protection work with the blah, 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 blah. Just one person trying to serve a better world in their own way after another, So that's what inspires me, is just going out into the world and, connecting with all those people out there who are doing the goddess's work.
Jessica asks about the green muscle car. I'm going to try to break up the more serious ones with more fun stuff.
Oh, I had a 69 Mustang Cobra turbojet with a 428 popping through the hood, like this massive muscle car, this beautiful smoky kind of green gray, mint condition when I got it. it was a go fast car, and I loved it. It was like almost impossible for me to drive. It was hilarious. My little 98-pound, you know, no power steering. I had to sort of hang myself off the wheel just to turn it. It was a beautiful, beautiful car, though, but it's been long lost to me. I'm driving much more practical cars these days, electric even,
That's great.
Trying to be part of the solution.
I really like this question, and this comes from a couple, actually, Karen and Michael. What is the most sublime experience you've ever had?
Wow.
Yeah, these that one are, caught this, me. This, I know this one caught me by a surprise, too.
Sublime experience I ever had. Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably too personal to talk about.
Well, there, that kind of answers one part of the question, I suppose. I ask myself that, too. It's an interesting thing to ponder.
Yeah, well, you know, I am so blessed to have an awesome job. And I think maybe, you know, the last most sublime experience was last night. Playing with Todd and Terrence on stage, and you know, those moments in the show when you just hit a groove and you become one animal, the three of us. You know, I just love Terrence Higgins on drums and Todd Sigafoos on bass. I've been working with those guys for a while, and it's so cool to just show up and drop into a place that is of our making. You know, this kind of music that we make together. And it's, and that feeling when the energy of a room becomes cohesive, you know, I can feel it going out and wrapping and coming back and filling me. Mm. And we all breathe together, you know, hundreds of people at once share a moment of understanding that you can only create live through live performance, live, you know. Those are exquisite moments that I'm blessed with over and over.
Ani, let's feature another song recorded here in the Montana Public Radio studios.
All right. This is a tune called Play God. Where's my distortion when I need it? Folk style. I was done at 16, showing up for class. I was out there in the rain, learning how to kick some ass. I was done at 16, using my mama's key. It was all on me. It was all on me. Weren't no free rides, weren't no IOUs. I pulled my weight, yeah, I paid my dues. And I showed up to enlist on the first day of recruits. How about you? How about you? And I'm my brother's keeper every chance I can. And I pay my taxes like any working man. And I feel I've earned my right to choose. You don't get to play God, man, I do. You don't get to play God, man, I do. You get to run the world in your special way. You get much more, much more than you say. Government, religion, soldiers, patriarchy. I might insist you leave this one thing to be. Oh, oh, one thing to be. Oh, oh, one thing to be. Oh, oh. Leave this one thing. 'Cause there's one thing that a man needs to be truly free. This
is the modern world, and that one thing is money. But there are two things that a woman needs: control over her own body. Yes, I pay the price on top of everything. Each month a bill, each month a record name, and each seed that dies, I cry and I bleed. So you can't tell me, no, you can't tell me. Yeah, I am a soldier, it's my blood that flows. I give my life so that this tree can grow. You don't know creation like I know. So you can't tell me, no, you can't tell me. You can't tell me, no, you can't tell me. You got to run the world in your special way. You get much more, much more than your say. Government, religion, it's all just patriarchy. I must insist you leave this one thing to me. Oh, 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 one thing to me. Oh, oh, one thing to me. Oh, 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 leave this one thing. Chance I can, and I pay my taxes like any working man, and I feel I've earned my right to choose. You don't get to play God, man, I do. You don't get to play God, man, I do. You don't get to play God, man, I do.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Ani DeFranco. I wanted to ask you about the reoccurring dream.
So you got to get to the last chapter.
Yeah, well.
Spoiler.
Is that a spoiler? I don't know.
Well, I mean.
Maybe we can speak to, I don't know.
It's not, I don't know if it would, I don't know if I could tell you right now in the way that the book could tell you.
Okay.
If you get to the end, what the reoccurring dream is about. I might just save it for those that go
that's
all
fair,
the way
that's
through.
That's fair. I won't spoil it for listeners.
I will tell you that the way that everybody says it, a reoccurring dream, is not correct.
Do tell.
I become more literate as I learn how to spell through titling songs. You know, dilate doesn't have an A in it, though it sounds like, you know, I learned how to, I became much more literate writing 300 pages of prose, that's for sure. And apparently, the way that we all say it, reoccurring dream, that means it reoccurs once. But recurring.
Aha.
Recurring, which nobody says.
Yeah.
So they changed the title of my book from No Walls in the Reoccurring Dream to No Walls in the Recurring Dream.
I see.
I'm like,
and
I think
I wrote it down wrong. I wrote reoccurring
dream.
Well,
no, I mean, there was many moments in this book, including the title, the front cover, where I had to decide whether to do it in the King's English or in my own.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was a constant thumb wrestle between me and my editor as to how wrong I could be along the way. But I did make it, you know, correct on the cover.
Ani, here's a question. It's kind of a standard Musician Spotlight question. I'm always interested in knowing how musicians keep themselves grounded and balanced, just in general. And I'm thinking back to your story of the book signing in Anchorage. You know, for everyone coming up and wanting to engage you, and how it can be an amazing way to connect with people. When I think about the relationship you have with folks that are so supportive of your music, and I just wonder, it seems like that could be really intense to put it mildly. How do you keep yourself grounded and just in the life of Ani DeFranco, if I use a broad term there?
these days I have kids, you know, so they're a great foil for the rest of it. They couldn't give a rat's whatever about the rest of it. They're like, you're mine and you need to watch me do this. And that's that. And that's, so that is grounding, you know, and humbling, and it's a good balancing factor. I mean, before the kids, you know, just I've been living in New Orleans, you know, for 15 years, and I love living there so much because were I not at home with my kids all the time now, I would be out listening to other people play music. Mm. It's such a great city for a musician to live in because you can go and get inspired on any given Tuesday. You know, you could walk out your house and find something profound happening musically somewhere in that city. Yeah. And that's a wonderful thing for my head, you know, to just go check in with, you know, the reality that I'm one of many out there bearing their soul and pushing their art as far as they can take it. And sometimes that happens, you know, in little bars in front of handfuls of people.
Right.
And that makes it all the more extraordinary. It's a big and humbling world. And, you know, if you just continue to be present in it, you never have to worry about, you know, letting your whatever thing run away with you.
More music now recorded here in the Montana Public Radio studios by our guest, Ani DeFranco.
Here's a tune called Names and Dates and Times. I know so many white people, I mean, where do I start? The trouble with white people is just can't tell them apart. I'm so bad with names and dates and times, but I'm big on faces, that is, except for mine. And I believe you when you tell me that we've met before. This time you got my attention, this time you got the floor. Go ahead, tell me something I don't already know. Give me something to remember you by. When I go, oh, 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 oh. When I go, oh, 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 oh. When I go, oh, 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 oh. When I go, oh, yes. Yes, I laugh too loud, I talk too long. Bet you'll be strangely relieved when I'm gone. Yes, I laugh too loud, I talk too long. Bet you'll be strangely relieved when I'm gone. Let's go over to the window and sit in the neon light. Let's go out walking, you know it's garbage night. Let's go down to the East River and throw some in. Some we can't live without, then let's start again. Oh, the more you talk, oh, the more I get. Oh, the sense of something that hasn't happened yet. Oh, the more you talk, more I want to know. The way I'll remember you. When I go, oh, 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 oh. When I go, oh, 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 oh. When I go, oh, 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 oh. When I go, oh, yes. Yes, I laugh too loud and I talk too long. Bet you'll be strangely relieved when I'm gone. Yes, I laugh too loud and I talk too long. And I bet you'll be strangely relieved when I'm gone. I am so many white people, I mean, where do I start? I got lots of personalities, I just can't tell them apart. And I never remember anything except for those things that I never forget. There's less and less in between. There's less and less in between. And I'm big on your face, yeah, it's big in my mind. I remember so clearly that place
that time, that place, that time. And I laugh too loud and I talk too long. That you'll be strangely relieved when I'm gone. Yes, I laugh too loud and I talk too long. That you'll be strangely relieved when I'm gone.
You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm John Floridis, and we're speaking today with Ani DeFranco. What are you doing for fun? You've touched on some fun stuff. Certainly,
yeah,
but maybe something maybe folks wouldn't be expecting.
I like to garden.
There
I like
go.
To get my fingernails dirty. And it's, yeah, literally grounding. It's just, I really like tuning in to plants, trees. I really see, I'm a student of trees. It's sort of weird. I've noticed that I haven't really found other humans that, like when I drive around, I'm always staring at the trees and I don't know what kind that is. And I'm so outraged everywhere I go at how they hack trees away for power lines. You know, when I'm queen, trees have the right of way. And that will be that. You can run your electricity around them. It's these, I mean, I feel like I'm only beginning to relate to the consciousness of trees. And I'm pursuing that relationship within me. And it feels very, very grounding, very nurturing.
AniDeFranco.com is the name of the website. And a great place to find out where all things Ani DeFranco are happening. And that includes the new memoir, No Walls, and the recurring dream. Got that correct this time?
Yeah.
I want to encourage folks to check that out, as well as several new releases. Ani DeFranco, the reissue, the No Walls mixtape, and as well the soon-to-be-released. Is there a name for that project?
The Prison Music Project. The record is going to be called Long Time Gone.
Okay, Long Time Gone. Great. Thank you so much for making time for talking shop with us here at Musician Spotlight. It's been a real honor to have you on the show.
All right. Thanks for having me.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Ani DeFranco. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. This interview was engineered by Beth Ann Austin. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.